This is The Record with Marcy Silliman. I'm Ross Reynolds. So you're watching TV or listening to the radio and, say, a retired Army officer comes on to predict the war in Iraq will be over in a matter of days. Or you flip the channel and a man with a crazy voice says he knows what the price of Microsoft is going to be next year. Or you're listening to KUOW's News Roundtable and someone says they know who's going to win that interesting city council race. Do you ever think to yourself, do you really know that? Well, you're not alone. Sanjay Ayer is right there with you. He's co-founder of PunditTracker.com. It's a website to track the predictions of pundits, and it gives them letter grades based on their performance. He told our esteemed colleague Steve Scheer that what he's looking for is accountability.
You put yourselves in the shoes of a pundit today. I mean, really the incentives steer you to be very loud and bombastic, regardless if you think your prediction is going to come true, right? If you're wrong, generally, no one will notice, right? No one has an incentive to really call you out. But if you're right, people will notice. You know, you can self-promote the fact that you're right. And then you think about how the mainstream media works as far as predictions go. It's very event-driven, right? Something notable happens. Say the stock market is down 20%, and the media will go and scurry and figure out who predicted that and kind of elevate them to oracle status, whereas what's striking is on the flip side, there's no commensurate flip side to that. When something doesn't happen, you know, say the stock market's flat, no one kind of goes back and looks who predicted it would crash. So the long and short of it is it's a very kind of asymmetric reporting system where hits, your correct predictions get reported much more than misses or incorrect predictions. So the notion of pundit tracker is, you know, let's play the role of public scorekeeper and really restore some much-needed balance to the equation.
Why don't the media have any incentive to call out bad experts and even get rid of poor experts?
In a way, there's multiple facets to it, but you know, one is they would effectively discredit themselves, right? If they call out their own expert who they've relied on and have shown on the air and kind of discredit their prediction track record, they're in a way kind of tarnishing their own brand. So that plays into it. And then, you know, the media operates, it's very kind of, it's all about new news, right? So there's no kind of institutional memory involved. It's just what's happening today, and then let's figure out kind of who might have predicted that.
Sanjay Ayer is co-founder of the website Pundit Tracker, bringing accountability to the prediction industry. So give me an example of a well-known pundit who gets an F.
Sure. Well, you know, Jim Cramer is one you might have heard of, and he actually, you know, given he had a strong second quarter, so he's now a D grade on our website. But, you know, given his strong brand, you listeners might be interested in knowing that his, you know, prediction track record since we started tracking him back in 2011 has been less than stellar. You know, he's underperformed, you know, the benchmark, the so-called S&P benchmark by, you know, 3 percentage points on an annualized basis, which in the finance industry is definitely underwhelming. And so he gets, you know, a D grade on our website.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be following all his stock predictions. But he did do better this last quarter. What does that tell you? How does that fit into your model?
Sure. So, you know, we track all his picks, you know, more than 1,000 picks since 2011, and you know it'll fluctuate up and down, but you know over a long period of time you'll get a general sense of what his track record is. So you know one good quarter, one bad quarter doesn't tell the story, but kind of a large body of work, which you know we have now, generally will say kind of what his acumen as far as predictions go.
How about a well-known pundit who gets an A or a very high B?
Sure, you know one of the In finance, particularly, there's a publication called Barron's, where they have, you know, every beginning of every year, they have a roundtable of pundits who make predictions on the stock market, and those pundits have, you know, shown a stellar track record of outperforming the market by, you know, 10-plus percentage points annually. So maybe lesser-known pundits, but people like, you know, Mark Faber and Felix Zuloff, and that's kind of the notion we're trying to address is, you know, the better-known pundits are generally going to be the worst performers because they've kind of perfected what we call the pundit playbook, you know, being very loud and bombastic just to garner attention, whereas the best pundits might be someone with, you know, no platform, you know, someone with not the brand name. And so our job is twofold. One is to kind of maybe disinflate the the pundits who have inflated reputations, but also, you know, let's surface, you know, the good pundits out there if they do exist.
Well, that's why it's interesting that on your website, Sanjay, you are inviting individuals to become pundits in all these different categories, from finance to sports to entertainment. And just like with the web in more broadly, maybe elevate smart people who have no brand up till now.
Exactly. So we're trying to introduce some meritocracy to the system, right? Instead of the media cherry-picking who's going to be on the air, let's open it up. And so basically anytime a pundit makes a prediction, you know, a user out there can vote on if they think that prediction will come true or not. You know, and based on those votes, we can grade users the same way we grade pundits. So we're effectively leveling the playing field, you know, between kind of official pundits and users, and, you know, let's see who, you know, we hope the kind of cream rises to the top, and we can discover, you know, the next, you know, maybe Nate Silver of, you know, finance or sports or entertainment.
Now, Nate Silver was successful as a pundit because of the strength of his data and the focus that he had on amassing data and being careful until he was sure of his data. So what do you think his success and what you're trying to achieve is going to tell us for the pundit industry in your best possible scenario? Much data-driven punditry?
Sure. I mean, I think that was the big takeaway from the elections. You know, obviously the official pundit class had a, you know, egg on their face with, you know, how wrong they were on the election, whereas, you know, the data-driven approach, you know, the Nate Silvers of the world did extremely well. So, you know, to the extent data-driven means you have a repeatable process, you know, I would argue that's probably a recipe for success, if there is one in the prediction industry, versus just kind of going with your gut or intuition. So, you know, that's something, and you're seeing a lot of followers of Nate Silver's methodology in various kind of categories, which, you know, is an interesting trend.
What impact do you think you're having, Sanjay Air, with Pundit Tracker?
You know, it's slow and steady. I would say there's a lot of entrenched interest to play who want to preserve the status quo. But, you know, you look back at the election last year, we highlighted, you know, just how poorly Dick Morris was with his predictions. He won our kind of award, if you want to call it that, for worst pundit of 2012. And, you know, he's promptly, you know, demoted / fired from Fox News a few months thereafter. So, you know, I think there's a demand from the public. Let's kind of get the data out there. Let's see who the good pundits are, and instead of pundits just kind of free riding off of, you know, one call they might have made right, you know, 5 years ago, and kind of building that kind of one-hit wonder reputation. Let's get the data out there. Let's let the users, you know, figure out who the good pundits are and who aren't. And then, you know, we've seen a lot of user interest as far as this kind of voting you know, mechanism that you referenced, where, you know, let's surface, you know, who is, you know, who has skill out there.
Boy, you're the John Stewart of the anti-pundit system. But tell me, pundits are making predictions. How can we, beyond the win-loss, do we learn anything about their skill, the quality of their thinking? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think there's two that you want to separate that, right? There's their analysis, which, you know, there are kind of other sites and other means to kind of grade, are they a good analyst? And then there's the prediction part of it. And the notion is, you know, when there is uncertainty, people want certainty. So there'll always be a demand out there for people who are selling certainty and making predictions. We don't know. You know, is there skill in punditry? That's something we don't have an informed view on yet. And we, you know, our hope is that the data we gather over time will help to answer that question. In the meantime, though, we think we can help correct any mismatches again between the pundit's reputation and his or her track record.
On the other hand, what if we just end up with as many pundits, but they're making fewer predictions? Is that a success?
Yeah, as far as having more qualified predictions and actually thinking twice before, you know, making a bombastic prediction, knowing that someone out there is actually paying attention, that means we're, you know, making some progress.
Fewer predictions. I think that might be a good idea. Sanjay Air, co-founder of the website PunditTracker.com. He spoke to our esteemed colleague, Steve Scherer. You are listening to The Record on KUOW.